Hey, welcome to the How to Succeed podcast. Today, our topic is frontline sales leaders and how they're the linchpin to your sales team's success. And we're in for a real treat today. We're joined with us is Michael Norton, who heads up our whole enterprise side here at Sandler, been part of Sandler for decades, but equally as important, knows the space, came out of sales leadership, has been dealing with sales leaders his whole career in and outside of the Sandler relationship. And so I've always put Michael as one of those experts who knows this space. So we're really in for a great treat. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here. And, you know, as you and I have known each other for a couple of decades at least, it's always great to be here and spend time with you. And, it's funny because our conversations are like we're the same person. We can start riffing on topics. I'm looking forward to riffing on this one with you.
Yeah, we'll apologize to everybody up front, I guess. So here's the thing. First of all, let's just put the sales management role in position for a second. And I'm going to be tongue in cheek here, but certainly people view, oh, sales has got it easy. You know, sales managers, they just deal with people who are just absolutely self-sufficient, the greatest job of all time. How do we look at it?
Yeah, David, for me, I look at it in a certain way, and I'm going to share something, and I don't mean to offend anybody who has any other role inside the organization. But when I look at companies who are especially in growth mode, hyper-growth mode, the sales manager is really your linchpin to success. They are your sales accelerator, right? And when, as you just said, people look at sales, oh my God, that's easy. They're playing golf class, taking people for a drink or doing whatever. And the sales manager, they're just managing that team, whether they're managing four people, six people, nine people, whatever that number might be. But when I think about sales managers, they not only manage down, they have to manage up. They're managing to their SVP or area vice president or EVP, who in turn is managing to the board or the CEO. So their reporting has to be pristine. Their forecasting has to be accurate. But here's the thing. Sales managers don't only just manage up and manage down, which by itself is a Herculean task. They have to manage peer-to-peer, side-to-side. They should be working with their peers who are on the team. Hey, David, what are your best practices? You're my counterpart in the Midwest. Mm. Mary, you're my counterpart in the Pacific Northwest. What are you doing? You're one of the top sales managers. Let's share best practices together. But then you look at departments inside of our organization like marketing and delivery and finance and HR. When you need to either let somebody go or hire somebody, how important is your HR team to you? To making sure you get, because we know how long it takes to ramp a new rep. So you cannot have an open patch or an open territory. So when I think of sales managers managing not just up and down, but managing side to side, they're the hardest working people in our company right now.
I 100% agree. And again, not to be disrespectful to anyone else that touches revenue, because it is a team sport for sure. But I think sales managers, to your point, juggle so many balls that no one really knows. I mean, first of all, you're right. Upper management's going to want reports like this. And so now we're in reactive mode, right? But we also want to guide the strategic discussion to make sure that our team gets what they need. Certainly have to protect our team from all the time-wasting stuff that comes out of any organization. Like, hey, you guys just do this. As a sales leader, I'll take the brunt of this. I'll go do that project. You go sell. All that stuff that goes on. Love the side to side. And so I think there's this reactive, proactive bunch of juggling balls that are happening all the time. But I also think if you just focus on salespeople for a second, I think that in itself is almost impossible. You're dealing with, whether it's 4 or 6 or 10 or 20, you're dealing with people with different experience levels, different skill sets, and different behavioral styles, right? So just think about that for a second. And if you overlay, some organizations have a player coach model, which means you've got your own set of prospects that you're closing. I mean, the complexity of this thing just is overwhelming, to be honest.
It's overwhelming. And what you just said there at the end, being player coach, you and I have talked about this for probably the 2 decades we've known each other. That's a losing proposition. That is the most difficult thing to put on a sales manager, to carry quota for a few different reasons. A, they're already so busy helping their team succeed. They can't possibly really run a book of business on their own effectively. And the other thing is, I think about my own team right now. Do I want to be seen as a competitor to them? Do I want to be, I go close a big deal. I come in and run my weekly sales meeting and say, hey, guys, I just closed the $750,000 deal.
Internally to help me, but you didn't get any of those, by the way.
Where did my respect meter go on that for my team? I jumped, boom, right?
Yeah, 100%. So let's step back for a second. Think about all the things that we had just talked about. How does a sales leader make sense of their day? I mean, time management's awesome until everyone else in the company shows up, right? How do they do it? I mean, listen, you're Hercules within our own company. I mean, so you're like Mr. Wonderful. How do you do it? Like, how do you juggle all that stuff that's coming at you? And some of it you know about, some of you don't.
You know, a few things. The first thing I'll start with is when we signed up for this role, when we signed up to be a sales leader, and that's the very first thing, by the way, folks, anybody listening, when you're considering promoting somebody out of your sales organization into management, first find out if they really want it. First find out if they really know the requirements and what is truly expected. Because again, not harping on the hardest working people in the industry, but our business, we start our day early, we end our day late, right? It's hard, right? To think
about. So I'll just stop you right there for 1 second because I want to hear what the rest you're going to say. But in fairness, senior execs oversell this job. When they have an empty spot, they have to do it themselves. They don't want to do it. So they're going to go to you, Michael, in the sales group and oversell this job. And maybe to your point, you shouldn't be in that job. That's not what you want to do.
It will sound attractive. It'll be romanticized. It'll be like, hey, check it out. You're getting promoted. Just be prepared, folks. You're probably going to make less money have the potential to make less money than your top sellers are making. You got to get it okay. The people on your team are going to be making more money than you. You're going to have more headaches. And I'm not saying this to tell you never go into sales management. There's people like me. This is the path I chose a long time ago. I love it. I love coaching people. I love helping people. Right. I love developing people. So it's me. It's who I am. But getting back to your question, David, how do you manage your day? Especially for newer sales managers who have not really had the years of experience. We've all been in those elevators in a parking garage, or we've been in a building where you're going on the main floor and you have buttons that take you three or four levels down to a parking garage, and you have buttons that take you up, higher in the building. Well, the early sales manager starts to make mistakes. They're starting on neutral. They're starting in the lobby, and they know that that's where they want to be because they want to focus on the assignment. But before they know it, they're starting to go on the down elevator because they go from focusing on their people, David, to all of a sudden it's a quick focus on results. And if the results aren't there, now they're focusing on the behaviors. Now, if the behaviors and the results aren't there, now they're jumping into win. They're putting their cape back on. They're putting their salesperson hat back on. They're going in and winning the business for their
super
people.
Closer. Yeah.
It puts them into the tyranny, and crisis management. Tyranny of the urgent and crisis management. And when you get to that place, David, I'm sure you've been there. I know I've personally been there. That's when you know it's time for change. That's when you know you got to start pressing the elevators buttons to take you to the top, where it's that peer-to-peer, work on your best practices, communicate with your team, work on your business, not in your business, work on motivating your people, helping them scale their business. We've all heard this before, right? We want our sellers to think of their territory or their patch as their own business. Help them scale that business. Help them win deals. Coach them through deal advancement. Coach them through client meetings. Coach them through pipeline optimization. Imagine an elevator with the buttons. Can you imagine peer-to-peer best practices? Coaching deal, client meetings, coaching deal advancement, coaching pipeline optimization, winning more deals. Those are the buttons the sales manager wants to be pushing.
Yeah, I think it's almost create a list of things that you're required to do on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis. Put them in order of priority, because sometimes we're working on stuff that's due next week when you could have gotten stuff done that's done like Friday type deal, right? So put it in order of priority. We tend not to do that as much as you think, which is, it's amazing to me. I also think putting things in time blocks. If you don't have a time block, like I'm going to spend an hour on that particular two topics. If you don't do it, it expands for 3 hours because you just allowed it to happen. You don't realize you're doing it.
Can I be there for a second?
Yeah.
Because one of what you just said is gold, and it's one of the things I learned from you a very, very long time ago, and I appreciate that you so much, is that what you said about, procrastination, putting things off to the next week, right, and thinking you always have time. Procrastination is a killer. What I love watching you do, like you're doing it with me this week on a big, big, big opportunity that we're working on. We say, okay, we need this. You turn around, and like before I know it, you just do it. You don't wait until, hey, let me do this tomorrow. Michael needs it by close of business Friday. You don't wait. You literally turn around and do it. So me, I've developed that same habit. Like, I don't have enough time to keep a memory. And if I don't get it done today, you know what tomorrow brings? It brings 17 more things I've got to do. Does. And then Thursday comes, I got to bring 17 more things. And now on Friday, I've got 97 things that I'm trying to do. You got to do it. Procrastination is a sales management killer.
Well, I also think, yes, I 100% agree from a time management perspective, but let's just do culture. So the fact that if you're a sales leader, or if you're, and we just use me as an example, but if you're a sales leader and you're giving tasks out and you're not hitting your dates, that sends the wrong signal. So you have to remember, people watch what you do, listen to what you say. You can tell people, I want everyone to be responsive, but if you're not responding, what have we actually done? So to your point, I think sales leaders have to emulate what they want others on the team to do as far as quality, speed, right? How you approach others. You have to be the epitome of what you want your sales team to interact when you're not there. And I think it's those types of things that we kind of forget sometimes, Michael. But as sales leaders, you have to lead by example, for sure.
For sure. So David, you know, you and I both traveled the world, and you know, being on lots of airplanes, you get the chance to talk to your seatmates, especially on long flights. You know, where are you from? What are you doing? When you find out you have something in common, or you know, if they're in business and in a sales position or sales enablement position, CEO of a company. And I love straw man poll, or just like having just conversation and asking people. And one of the questions I do ask of a sales manager or sales leader, hey, what do you think your salespeople really need from you? And I hear camp counselor, bartender, listening ear. I need a kick in the pants, you know, every once in a while. I need that motivator. I'm like, okay, now think about it. What do you want them to see from you? What I hear is, I want them to understand the mission and vision and values of our team as it relates to the mission, vision, and values of the company. I want them to pick up my work ethic. I want them to pick up my belief system. I want some of my personality, this is my team, to rub off on them. I want them to have that winner's attitude that we're playing the Super Bowl every single day, right? I took that out of the show, The Bear, by the way. And if anybody's watching, listening to this or watching, that's an awesome show. So much sales in there. If you really watch it, just think of the sales pieces that you pick up in the show. It's awesome.
You know, I do think that it's a challenge. What we want and, you know, what we ask them for are two different things, right? So, yeah, we are a camp counselor, but I think most of the time sales managers forget we're working on three different things all the time as sales leaders. We're working on how to grow our business, how to make it stronger, better, scalable, how to work on our people, making sure they have the tools necessary, their skills are up to speed, they have that experience, your pre-call briefing, your debriefing, shrinking that learning curve, right? But we want them to be, the ultimate goal of a sales manager, in my opinion, is to make sure my team is self-sufficient. If they're self-sufficient and they're staying within their lanes, check the box. Third category is working on myself. And I think everyone focuses on the business sometimes in a disproportionate way, and not the other two, which is kind of goes to what you just said.
Yeah. And can we give props to our founder, David Sandler, for a second?
Yeah, of course.
Because again, something I learned from you early on working for you, working with you, Dave, early on working with you, you know, coming back from a sales call, you had 10 questions you would ask me mm-hmm. after every sales call.
Yeah.
And I might have the answers to two or three of those questions mm-hmm. you would ask. And then I'd come back from the next sales call and have two or three more answers. But if right. I had to learn that I needed the answers to the 10 questions you were going to ask me or one of my salespeople about a deal, that really was helpful. And I know you learned that from David Sandler yeah. because early on in your career, you would come back from a big sales call. You know, you're excited, you're happy. You know, you had yeah. two or three of the answers and we think exactly. we have a deal. And then David Sandler made you really think about, did you get the information? So pre-call planning, debriefing. Here's the thing. Yeah. Recall planning starts to create the good sales habits. Debriefing cements those habits.
Yeah, I think that's two things. Look, I want to talk about sales behaviors, then I want to go into what you think your top technique is, behavior and attitude. Before we do that, let's go into what you just said, because I think it's so powerful. Most leaders miss the opportunity. Pre-call planning, if you want to help shape what happens prior to a call, don't do it after the fact, do it ahead of time. It actually helps you understand how they're thinking, what's going on, what the goals are, and you're training them on what's important for them to focus in on a call. What Sandler did to me, you know, and you and I did, which is, here are the questions I'm going to ask after the call. it forces you to focus in on what's important in real time, because you are going to get emotionally sucked in. I mean, it just happens. We're just humans. But if I know Dave Sandler's going to ask me these three questions, I promise you, before I go, I'm going to say, hey, just one last question. Hey, when it comes to X, Y, and Z, because I know I'm going to get asked, right? So we're constantly shaping. Those are the two most powerful tools that you can really hone people's sales skills, is that pre-call and that debrief. And as a sales leader, you should never go on a call if you haven't done a pre-call. Never.
You and I talk about that all the time. Can we talk about this big excuse that sales managers will give for not pre-call planning or debriefing? I don't have the time. Well, guess what?
I hire experienced people.
They've been selling for 20 years. They don't need a pre-call plan. Yeah. I've been doing this for 15 years. I don't need a pre-call plan. Hugest, biggest mistake they make. But guess what? Look at the land we live in. The genie is out of the bottle. AI is here. AI for pre-call planning and AI. Look at debriefing. We have conversational intelligence tools. As a sales manager, I can go in and hit the highlight reel on my gong recordings for my team before I get on my one-on-one management meeting with my salesperson and talk about three deals that it took me all of 15 minutes to digest and understand what they did right, what they did wrong, where I would encourage improvement. So
don't give me the time excuse anymore.
Time excuse is gone.
It's amazing. And it has nothing to do with fantasy. I mean, the worst thing is, so Michael, tell me what your week looks like. Oh my goodness gracious. That is the worst. So 100% agree with that. So let's go to, you know, as a sales leader, you started off before we get to the tactics and the behaviors and attitude. You talked a little bit about there's so many different things that I'm managing down, up, sideways, right? And we talked a little bit about, okay, well, we've got to create a list of things that we should be focusing on. What they'll be able to see is 10 behaviors that sales leaders really should get down pat. And those are things that I could work on myself. Those are things that the C-suite should be helping your sales leaders own, like dominate, have a grasp on this thing. Because if you could work on just those 10 things, and there's a million things, but that's always the problem. There's a million things. If you can work on 10, then we do know that you'll help your business, you'll help your team, and you'll help yourself. So talk a bit about focusing on some of those behaviors.
Yeah. You know, as a sales manager, people get it wrong. People get the order wrong. And we talked a little bit about earlier about that, you know, down escalator, you know, where you start focusing on the numbers. But some sales managers, even people who've been around a while, it's still hit the number, hit the number, hit the number, hit the number. Then if you're not hitting the number, then you focus on the results. After you focus on the results, well, then maybe I'm going to start developing my people or give them some training. And then at the end, I'm just going to focus on who they are, what motivates them. That's the total wrong order. Tactically, you want to focus on your people first. They're all individuals. You have a multi-generational sales force, right? Your Gen Z and your millennials are going to learn differently, communicate differently, want their information differently than your Gen X and your boomers, right? You have to understand that. But focus on your people. Understand what makes them tick. Then give them their cookbook. Don't let them come up with their cookbook. Give them their cookbook. That's what we call Sandler, a behavioral plan. Now you can focus on you can't manage results. You can measure results. You can manage behaviors. And once you're doing all that, I don't call it hitting the number. I call it celebrating. David, celebrate the number, but start by focusing on your people first. Figure out the behaviors they need to do. Measure the results. Celebrate and win. Right?
Yeah, 100%. Now listen, I tell you, when you say teams are made up of individuals, I do think most sales leaders forget that. And if you really just think about a parent for a minute, I've got one child in college, I have one in elementary school, and I've got one going into preschool. The differences between those experiences and everything else is dramatic, and that's really what goes on in your sales team, right? When you said multi-generational sales teams, it is a Herculean task for a manager to really understand each one of those people, what they're experiencing and all that other stuff, and then still do your job. So, all right, let me move to the crux of How to Succeed podcast. In addition to sharing experiences and best practices as we've done, we're gonna ask you, what do you think your like one or two big techniques are? Because in the success triangle, we have attitudes, behaviors, and techniques. So what are your two go-tos? If you're sitting in front of a group of sales leaders and they said, Michael, what's the one technique that would help me be successful? What is it? And then we'll move to your one behavior. And then what's the mindset that I really absolutely have to excel? Let's start with technique. What would you say?
Well, how long do we have on this podcast, Dave?
Yeah, I know. It's so
great. But let me share something with everybody who's in sales management, sales leadership anywhere. The one tactical thing that you need to be able to do and do well is be straightforward and honest with your team. When they can trust you to deliver bad news, like no matter how bad the news is, no matter how tough the information is, right? And I'll give you an example. I'm just going to make an example up here. Say you were going to a channel partner and there was a little bit of conflict, and now you have to kind of give people both credit, and somebody might get, you know, quota relief for some percent, some commission percent for whatever, and they're expecting the entire commission and the entire quota relief, right? And you know, by talking with your finance team, you're working with your channel partner, you have to cut the deal. You're the sales leader. When you have to give somebody bad news that they were expecting something different, just do it. Rip the Band-Aid off. When they know you're okay, and you know, you do it nurturingly. The sailor is nurture, 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 but do it. Do not put that off ever. It's just that, and when David Matson asks me, what is my day or my week or my month or my quarter or my year going to look like? And what is how much revenue am I actually delivering? If I know my quote, my pipeline is weak, I just tell David, I'm in trouble.
Right.
Right. Just be honest with people above you. People you call them, the caller, remember I said marketing, deliver, finance, let them know exactly where you are in the deal. Honesty and transparency are going to be your best friend as a sales leader. That's absolutely number one.
I'm going to overlay one word on that, which is consistency. Be consistent.
Be consistent.
Be consistent. 100%. I like that.
Yep. And here's the other one. Here's the other one, David, that I see the big mistake made by sales managers, especially newer people who've been promoted out of a sales role and into a sales management role. They close the deal. So, you know, you're my salesperson, David, I'm your sales leader, and you just close, you know, ABC company, nice, really nice opportunity. And I go and tell my leadership team, hey, me and David just closed this deal, or David and I just closed this deal. I start to take credit of being on the team that closed the deal. You'll never hear that from me. When we do, in our team, you've seen this, when we say somebody, hey, help me congratulate Sarah on a really new, huge win. Mm-hmm. It's congratulate Sarah. I have nothing to do with this. As a sales manager, you have to take your ego out of what you are doing. Yeah. You are the man, the woman behind the scenes who are helping them close their deal. You start talking about it, it's you who did the deal, you're going to lose salespeople so quickly. They're going to either want to jump to another team or jump to another company.
Yeah. So you said a bunch of stuff there, but certainly there is no room for ego in sales leadership. None. And your win is when your team wins, not putting yourself
100%.
In the
ring. I don't care how good Sarah is if I don't have my other
100%.
Right?
100%. And I think we get stuck in there because we want to add value to the upper echelon, but you don't need to do it that way because you're actually eroding respect and trust. All right, let's talk about behavior. What's a behavior that comes to mind? Good sales leader.
Good sales leader. And is it okay if I give my old mentor, Zig Ziglar, God rest his soul? Sure. He was just such a great, great motivator.
Pioneer,
grandfather of our industry. You know, what I took away from him was every single night before he went to bed, he reviewed his to-do list for the next day. That was his last thing. He did all his reading, did all his time with his family. Before he went to bed, he had his, back in the day, day timer, you know, right next to his bed and his pad of paper, and he reviewed what he had to do the next day. Mm-hmm. Then he would compliment that by the way. When he woke up in the morning, I'm having my coffee. I've got my list of what has to happen before I start my day right in front of me again. Planning your day as a sales manager, because as we've talked about, your day will fly away from you. It starts for me very early. And if I don't do that by 6 o'clock at night, my day is completely destroyed. So from a behavioral thing, know what your day looks like, plan for your day, get ahead of it. It's like being down 26-7 at halftime. You know, lunchtime comes and you're like, holy crap, it's halftime. And now I am nowhere near done with anything I have to do. So that would be the first one.
I like that. I think what you'll find is if you do have to-do lists, actually stuff gets done a lot faster. Like you're looking, you get it done in like half the time.
Yep.
And I'll say two things to what you've said about time is to make sure that you do behavioral plans for like get your stuff down. You can't do the results, as Michael said, but get yourself a cookbook for sure. The last thing I would say on top of that is do the toughest stuff first. Get it out of the way. Yes. Like do the toughest stuff. You said that earlier. Do it first. Get it out of the way. All right. Mindset. The last component of our success triangles. We have techniques. We have behaviors. Now attitude. What's the mindset we want to leave our sales managers with?
So for me, mindset is absolutely incumbent. And you know what happens with, let me set this up this way. So any kind of training, whether it's sales training, leadership training, sales management training, companies want to come in and focus on mostly what we talked about earlier. Let's just give you some skills and skills Sure. and skills. They jump right to that. And everybody's got great content. Everybody's got great skills in that. But you know what, David? If you only focus on the skills, you might be putting the right skills on the wrong person. They're not ready for that, right? You haven't touched on the mindset. You haven't gotten their attitude and adjustment. So for me, the attitude that we teach here at Sandler, and it's a game changer for sales managers, is equal business stature, especially when you're in a team selling environment. When you walk in, and just maybe you're a frontline sales manager, and all of a sudden you walk in there and there's somebody from the C-suite who shows up, or on a Zoom call. You know, we all know the unexpected guest who shows up in a room or shows up in a Zoom call, and who you didn't prepare for in your pre-call planning.
Yep.
Well, you can't lose it. You have to have whoever it is, your salesperson, your sales manager, equal business stature. And that starts with that mindset, right? And that's even internally. When I'm talking with our CEO, when I'm talking with you, when I'm talking to our COO, you know, they lead the company. I give them all the respect and credit in the world. But this is my business. This side of the business is my business. I have to carry myself with that equal business stature, because if I start asking for things and I'm not getting them, if I don't have that influence with my C-suite, with you, yeah. Right? Where's my credibility for my team? I'm not going to get them what they need. I'm not going to be able to manage side to side and get all the cavalry to come help me close deals. So having that equal business stature, that winner's attitude, that, hey, I'm in this, right? I don't shy away from things. I take things on right as they come, right?
Yeah, I 100% agree. Listen, we've covered an awful lot today, but I think at the end of the day, we can all agree sales leadership is a tough job. Sales leadership can be taught. You're not born a sales leader. I think we also know that it's not one and done. Like you can't put 5 years into it and say, okay, I'm an awesome sales leader and I'm going to stop. Like, I don't want my surgeon to stop learning. You know, I've been doing this 38 years. Okay, that's okay. But exactly. What about me? And, you know, and you do control, if you really think about it, you control the outcome of the organization. You control the outcome of the team, the members of your team's future. There's a lot of stuff going on here, because if you're not doing your job, it means the company can't invest. That's a problem, right? People don't get bonuses, whatever. If you're not doing a good job as a sales leader, then your team's constantly churning, which is no good for anybody. But your team's not actually fulfilling their personal and professional goals. That's a problem.
Yep.
So I think it's one of the most fulfilling jobs around, as you said, but it's one of the most difficult jobs around, that you have to constantly hone your skills. And the last thing I'd say is be boring. Don't change for the sake of changing. When something works, stick with it. Be boring. Who cares? You know,
I can't tell you. Hang on, brother.
Yeah, you and I have gone into companies and they say, well, do XYZ? Oh, I used to do that actually. And you stop because it doesn't work. Oh, no, it worked great. Why aren't you doing it? I don't know. I mean, it became the flavor of the month. So,
people are always looking for that. What's new that works?
Right.
It's not what's new that works, folks. It's what works that works. If it's working, stop trying to change it. Don't fix what's not broken.
Yeah. And
right.
We're awesome at that. You know, we just get creative for the sake of creativity. Michael, thanks for joining us today. And
Kyle,
as usual, thanks for listening to How to Succeed podcast.
Can I lead the audience with one last thought, David?
Of course.
Sales managers, because again, I tactical.
I know you live and breathe this.
I live and breathe it. And sales managers, sales leaders, do not let your team off of practice and role play. We do it every single Friday, role play Friday. We don't care if they're uncomfortable. And I will tell you, you put it into your cookbook as a sales manager for your team meetings once a week, once every week. Do it at a minimum once a month. Force the role play situation with breakout rooms virtually. You're not meeting in person. In 3 or 4 weeks of doing it, they can't wait to do it again. They get comfortable with it. And it's like, yeah, bring it on. Put me in that breakout room. I want to role play this topic. Do not take your foot off the accelerator and role play.
Yeah, I think you got to force the issue 100%. Let's call it role play practice, and then more people will buy into it. But And you know, sports teams, they practice every single week, right? And they go back to the basics. So no one gets into a huddle.
The game is one in practice. It's not one.
Yeah, I mean, they're down to the 3-yard line. No one gets in a huddle. And so it's like, hey, group, you're all super experienced. You make a lot of money. On the count of three, do what you think is best. Great. That's not how it works. Your ears have to hear what your mouth says. So you need to practice, right?
Yeah.
And so let's get it done. We are uncomfortable, but that only tells you as a sales leader that you're not 100% confident in what you're going to say. And your way to practice is not in front of a prospect. So I love that last thought. And again, hey, thanks for joining us today, Michael.
Great to be here. Really.
Everybody for joining us on How to Succeed podcast. Until next time, good selling.
The How to Succeed podcast is copyrighted by Sandler Systems, LLC, and protected by U.S. copyright laws. For more information on Sandler services, please consult with your local Sandler trainer or visit www.sandler.com.